Welcome to Come Follow Me, Mental Health Insights with Dr. David Morgan. Each week we'll review a concept from the Come Follow Me lesson and talk about applications to improve our mental and emotional health. Hi, welcome to episode 13 of season 2. This week we are studying Matthew chapter 13 and Luke chapters 8 and 13. And for today's discussion, I'd like to focus on the parable of the sower, which is one of the only parables where Jesus himself provided an interpretation. But before that, I want to address something that happens in these chapters and that also happens throughout the New Testament. It's an example of the scribes and the Pharisees who always had big problems with the Savior, not exactly sure why, but they were always looking to catch him in some sort of misdeed or some sort of violation of the law of Moses. And they're kind of always on the lookout for this. And we see an example of this in Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 11. "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to wandering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him." So there's multiple accounts in the New Testament of Jesus' detractors being particularly vigilant on the Sabbath and trying to catch him in a behavior that was not appropriate. And what I think is so hypocritical about this is that the Sabbath is time for us to grow closer to God. And it ever has been, ever since its inception and designation as a day of rest. Yet the enemies of Jesus were spending their Sabbath in activities that were counterproductive to that, counterproductive to holiness. They were looking for fault in others, and it only served to set them back spiritually. So my advice to you on this is to please do not spend your emotional energy looking at the faults in others or looking for the faults in others. I understand this is a natural inclination. Sometimes we feel better about ourselves if we can make others seem worse. It's a terrible strategy for self-esteem, but we do it sometimes anyway. But it really doesn't matter how others are doing or what they are doing. We need to focus on ourselves and make sure that we are doing our best to stay on the covenant path. Now let's talk about the parable of the sower. For me, one of the applications in this parable is how ready we are for change and how we can make lasting change. So as the sower is casting seeds, they land in a number of different places. We'll read from Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 5. "Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. In each case, the seed is good, and when properly nourished, the seed will bring forth fruit. We can't criticize the seed when it doesn't grow because it needs there's nothing wrong with the seed. It just needs the proper environment. So in the interpretation of the parable, or one of the interpretations, is we have to look at our own willingness to change. What kind of soil are we when the seed of change is planted in us? In mental health, readiness for change is critical when it comes to making long-term adjustments to our thoughts and behavior. There's a theory on this. It's called Stages of Change by DiClemente and Prochaska. And they identified 5 different ones. I won't go into all the science of it, but they range from not wanting to change at all, to be willing to make small changes, to making sincere efforts, to making significant and lasting change. And as I've read the parable of the sower, I thought about some of the reasons why we might have difficulty embracing the process to do the work to improve our mental health. And it starts with the weeds that fall by the, or the seeds that fall by the wayside, not even on the stony ground, but on the wayside. And for me, these are people who are not ready for change at all. You can't force them. And even if they went to counseling, it probably wouldn't even do anything. The next place are the stony places. And these are people that they start the change process, but then they find it's difficult and they don't continue with it. And so then they don't achieve the change that they once sought. Next are the thorny places. And to me, these are the people who are making progress towards better mental health, but then they get lured back into old patterns, or sometimes because of the opinions of others, they stop their work. And these people get stuck because they are more concerned about what others think about them than what they think about themselves. And they end up kind of going backward in that process. Then we have the seeds that land in good ground. And as the parable indicates, all of them experience some sort of change, some little, some moderate, and some considerable. And it's important to remember that people change at different paces and they make unique progress. And I think one of the things we absolutely need to do is to quit comparing ourselves to others and saying their change is better than my change, because it's really impossible to compare. Later on in the New Testament, we'll talk about the parable of the talents. And one of the things that's taught there that's very important is that no matter what we do, as long as we put forth a suitable effort, as far as the Lord is concerned, then it doesn't matter what we produce. The person who had the 2 talents and turned it into 4, and the person who had the 5 talents and turned it into 10, both got the exact same reward from the Lord. They were both recognized for doing the best they could with what they had. So when we start to compare our change to others, that's just a really dangerous place to go, because then we say, oh, well, my depression isn't managed as well as that person's depression. Well, your depression is different than that person's depression. It's really impossible to compare. And so my hope is, as we do make those changes, that we give ourselves credit for the change that we've made. And as we talk about this parable in general, that each of you will take stock of where you are at in terms of being willing to change and asking the question of how much work are you ready to put into that process? More questions are, how much stamina will you have when the work of change gets difficult? And how much resilience will you show when you start to doubt in yourself? Because that's going to happen. Change never happens on just a steady upward trajectory. It's kind of like if you look at a graph of the stock market over time, there's increase and decreases every single day. Overall, it's a positive trajectory, but that positive trajectory over years, over decades, includes just, you know, 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. So the bottom line is, change is difficult, and it's supposed to be difficult. But the good news is, when we do difficult things that take a long time to achieve, that the change that we achieve is resilient and almost always stays with us if we are willing to maintain it over time. So if you're new to this podcast, I always end with an invitation to act. I think that's important, that you have the opportunity to not only learn from what we're talking about, but see if you want to do something different in your life. And just a general reminder about these weekly invitations, please don't try to do all of them. That can become easily overwhelming. Just give some consideration to which ones you think might be best for you. And some of them are going to take time as well. Some of them might take, you know, weeks or months to accomplish. So you don't want to overwhelm yourself with, you know, piling invitation upon invitation. And so here's this week's invitation. I want you to think about your own willingness to change and rate yourself on the following scale. And here's the 5 different categories. Category number 1, I don't want to change. Number 2, I don't care if I change or not. Number 3, I'm willing to begin some small changes. Number 4, I'm ready to begin major changes. And number 5, I've made major changes and I'm ready to maintain them. So once you've rated yourself, ask yourself these questions. Is that where I want to be on the scale? And if not, where do I want to be and how can I get there? I do have free worksheets that you can download to help you remember and implement this week's and former week's invitations. To find out how to get these, just sign up for my email newsletter, and you can find that link in the show notes. Also, invite you to subscribe to my podcast so you can easily access new episodes each week. And I have also launched a new mental health consultation program where you can view webinars, get insights, and use tools to help make progress towards greater mental health. It's called the Keep Moving Forward program. I'd love for you to check it out. We just did our first live webinar this last week. It went great. Just go click on the link in the show notes for more information. Thanks for listening. And until next time, this is Dr. David Morgan reminding you that change is possible, but change requires action, and to always keep moving forward. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more, please visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drdavidtmorgan.com.